What I want to do today is, I told you this morning on the first tape, I'm going to go right to my message today. So we're going to go to Galatians chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verse 20. I gave you a lot this morning on the first tape. I do that so when you listen to the first tape, it continues to the second tape. I do not teach the second tape what I taught the first tape. I continue. That's why I'm on tape 140, maybe 141. I don't know. All right, 140. Some of y'all just, all right, but it's 140, 141. All right, but anyway, I'm going to be doing a lot of numbers because I'm teaching the new covenant and a lot of things that I got to teach now that I know you don't know, so don't act like you know, all right? But anyway, you want to learn, all right? All right, now here in Galatians chapter 2, I want you to read with me. When I have to read, that's your time to be a part of the service. All right, and the rest of the time, you got to listen. So you got a time to read, time to listen. All right, so when I start ministering, not reading, it's your time to listen. But if I'm reading, you can read with me. All right, Galatians chapter 2. Now, I want to start reading with verse number 18. This is for our scripture. I'm sorry, I said 20. Let's back up to verse number 18. Because I want to show you the Apostle Paul. And then I told you this morning that I'm going to do Jeremiah 1, 9 and 10. All right, so I want to do that because I want to show you what God is doing here. All right, let's read Galatians chapter 2, verse 18. All right, let's read. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law that I might live under God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So today we're going to teach out of this verse. We're going to continue now. Remember, we're going to teach other things out of this verse. So out of this verse, we're dealing with I was crucified with Christ. So say that with me. I was crucified with Christ. Now, if you don't know it, crucified means died. I'm dead. I died. All right? So you crucified, you died. That means when Christ died, I died. How did you die? How did he die? We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 11. When Christ died on the cross, he died as the Son of Man. Or he died with a man soul. That's Adam, son of Adam, son of man. All right? Now, in Isaiah chapter 53, and verse 10 and 11 showed us what was the offering. I like to put it this way. Everything Adam did in Genesis, he paid for on the cross. We gave it that this morning. Ezekiel 18:4 says, all souls are mine. The soul of the father, soul of the children, but the soul that sinned is shall surely die. So we know that Adam sinned, he had to die. All right, now we have to understand this spiritually. All right, now let's look at Isaiah. Let's go back to Isaiah 53 on the screen. Isaiah chapter 53, we want to look at verse number 10 and 11. All right, he said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. All right, he made his soul an offering for sin. Why? Because it's the soul of Adam. Adam is the one that's called soul. The word Adam means soul. The word Adam means man. The word man means soul. All right? That's why in the new covenant, we have a new man. We have a new man. All right? Otherwise, we have a new nature. You don't have the nature you had when people were not saved. Before the cross, you had Adam's nature. Adam nature means sin nature, condemnation, all that stuff. That was the nature of man. You don't have that now. In Christ, that was done away. You have the nature of Christ. You have God's nature. Christ is what? God's nature. All right. That means you are a new man with a new nature. God has not made you a Christian. See, that's where people got this word, well, we just Christians. No, you are Christ-like. As a matter of fact, you are Christ. See, we don't want to go that far. You, it's not you that live no more. See, that's the whole thing. It's Christ that live in you now. See, so when I say you are Christ, I'm talking about that's your new identity. See, you'll never renew your mind to be as Christ until you think like Christ thinks. And people don't want to say that they are the body of Christ. Say, I am the body of Christ. Well, if you're the body of Christ, you Christ. Well, let me put it this way. Before you would say, for example, I was the body of Earl. Well, I'm not the body of Earl no more. I'm not Earl. Say, Earl do not live in this body no more. Christ live in your body. That means you're the body of Christ. So you got to understand, you have a new identity. Your identity is really who you are. And you're not Adam anymore, you're Christ. All right, now here in Isaiah 53 and verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him and to put him to grief, because when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, that was seed mean Christ. He shall prolong his days. The pledge of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul. All right, so that's what you saw on the cross. You saw the soul traveling. You saw that in the Garden of Gethsemane. His soul was traveling. His soul was saying, Father, if thou wilt, remove this cup from me. Why? Because I'm going to teach you on that, because the soul had to drink the cup. The cup had something in it. We're going to see on the word. Wrath, sin, death, all that was in the cup. So the soul had to drink the cup of wrath, sin, death, all that stuff, so we could drink the cup of blessings, which is grace. See, so of salvation, that's what the cup represents. In verse number 11, he says, see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. He shall bear their iniquities. And that word bear mean carry in his own body our sins. All right, but that verse I don't want you to forget in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 18. Can I go to that in the NLT Bible? I could read it out of the, I read it out of the Greek, but I want to see what the NLT says. That's Galatians chapter 2 and verse 18. I want to show you something, because we're going to go next to Jeremiah 1, 9 and 10. I want to show you this verse first. See, what Paul's ministry was he had to tear down the law and its system. That's why when you talk about in I'm waiting on that screen, Jeremiah. There we go. We're not doing Jeremiah now. We do Galatians 2:18. Here we go. Read. It says, "Rather I'm." We just got to fix that. That's something we got to do. We don't have time to do it right now. It says, "Rather I'm a sinner if I rebuild the old system. If I rebuild the old system of the law, that makes me a sinner again." See, he wasn't there to rebuild the old system of the law. That's the one he tore down. He said, rather I'm a sinner if I rebuild the system of the law I've already torn down. So when that's why I told you Jeremiah 1, 9, and 10. Let's go there. So you have to understand what was Christ came to do. See, that's why I got other teachings on you to show you. Remember, we only did forgetting those things which are behind. That's the only one we did in Philippians chapter 3. But we got to understand, you got to get rid of the garbage. One way we're going to tear it down. We never finish. That's a teaching by itself. We're going to have to tear it down, and then we're going to show you we're going to burn it all up. See, all that got to be done away with. That's why people still remember and think about all the stuff that's in their past. They never had a funeral. They never had a funeral. Okay. Because you can only remember what had not been buried. See, I'm going to take it. I'm going to show you. Anybody that happened 2 or 3 years ago, they already been buried. You don't remember them no more. You'd be like, okay. But if they was not buried, they still be in your mind. I'm going to show you that. That's why we got to bury the old man. You understand? See, we're going to show you that. And we're going to show you that scripture. All right. Now, let's go where now? Jeremiah. Isaiah, we're going to go Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. All right. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Watch what Jeremiah said. This is what, and when I get to this, I'm going to go back into the Old Testament prophet. Every king that got to be in Judah and Israel, they had to do this. They had to tear down the work of the old man. And that's what we don't end up doing. We end up coming in the church. We never tie down the work of the old man because we don't know what it is. That's why Paul talked about casting down imaginations and every high thing. That's what he talked about. We'll get all of that in that teaching. All right, Jeremiah 1:9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations. This is what Christ fulfilled. I have set thee over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out, pull down, throw down, and destroy. All this stuff that he had to do. And then you can build and plant. And that's what has to happen in your life. Because if you don't do that, you still have all that stuff that, and you're trying to plant and nothing coming up. That's why he gave us Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8. They're sowing the seed, but it's falling on all this stuff. We'll get to all that in that teaching. All right? And then that's why you don't have anything. Now let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 12. We are headed to our message. I was crucified with Christ. Say it again. I was crucified with Christ. Now, I'm going to show you, you died. When Jesus died on that cross, you died. I died. All souls died. Okay? That's how we got to the new covenant. Now, we didn't just die. Christ saved all souls at the cross. Say it, Christ. Saved all souls at the cross. Now, this is what religion teaches you. If you're religion, how are you going to know? Because you're still talking about how to be saved. See, you watch religion. Religion always trying to get you saved. That's why when you went, you look at any religion, that's how you know it's religion. Religion always trying to get you saved. Always come over here, boy, so you be saved. I need to baptize you in water, Jesus' name, to get you saved. See, a religion always trying to get you saved. They would never accept the cross. Christ saved all men at the cross. Say it with me. Christ saved all men at the cross. Say, Christ died, Christ died on the cross to save all men. All right. So he died to save all men at the cross. See, what happened is when the gospel is not preached, we think we come here to get saved. That's why I told you Romans 10, 9, and 10. You look at all of these religions and things that people, when they're in religion, they don't want to admit they're in religion. This is how you know you're in religion. If you confess with your mouth, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. See, that's telling you if you do this, you can be saved. If you're baptized in water in Jesus' name, you can be saved. See, everybody's telling you what if you do, you can be saved. That's not grace. Grace does not demand you do nothing. Say it with me. Grace do not demand I do anything. Under grace, I do one thing, and that's receive. Right, because everything in grace is finished. Everything in grace is finished. So you can't do nothing over here. You just receive. So that's why I keep reading Acts 26, 18. Put it back on the screen. See, you will know when you're in religion. When you're in religion, you're still trying to do something to please God. That's why you got folks still fasting. Why you think they're fasting? They want to do something. Fasting is not new covenant, it's old covenant. Because in the new covenant, it's not you that's alive. I'm going to preach on that. You dead. So how you fasting dead? Just think, if you can just think. See, you died. You are not fasting. And then in New Covenant, there's no more tithing in New Covenant. There ain't no tithing in New Covenant. That's your forgiving. Because God looks at the heart when you give a New Covenant. Old Covenant, you could not do. Tithing, you could not do. That's why people give 50 cents, or they may give $3, but $3.16. Because they got to get tithe. Cheer forgiving, you don't count the pennies. You are cheer forgiver. On the tithing, you gave $58.71. That was 10%. On the cheer forgiving, you give according as God has blessed you. God bless you a lot, you ought to give a lot. He has blessed you to little, give a little. If he hadn't blessed you at all, don't give nothing. That's how you treat God. All right, now let's go. That's all I got to say about money. I'm not here to teach money. I'm just trying to show you it's a different system. All right. Acts 26:18. Thank you very much. That's why I keep reading Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. There's one word in there told you to receive. Watch what it says. Read it again. Acts 26:18. Open their eye, turn them from darkness to light, turn them from the power of Satan to God, that they may do one thing. That's all God asks you to do in New Covenant. The word receive means to believe. That you may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that's in me. So that's all you can do in New Covenant. So when you don't have it in New Covenant, you can't blame nobody because you did not receive it. All right? Now, I gave you another thing. I get to that. I gave you John chapter 12. All right? Thank you very much. Now, if I got something that I told you this morning to write down, I can get that now if you got your notes. So please get that on the surface of your lip so you won't have to go look for it. Somebody else beat you to it, okay? All right, John chapter 12. I'm only going to look at one verse, and that's verse 24. Before that, he said, I was come that the Son of Man may be glorified. Son of Man means Son of Man is Jesus. So you got to understand, the Son of Man is glorified. Glorified means death, burial, and resurrection. All right, verse 24 on the screen. Read, verily, verily, I say to you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bring forth much fruit. Now, I want you to listen to me. I'm a southerner. I know about farming. How many know about farming? Ain't many. But let me tell you about farming. I see your hand. Let me tell you about farming. If you plant a bean, I'm not going to use the word corn because that's another thing. You do a corn, any seed. If you plant a bean, guess what come up first? Some of y'all don't know. Don't cry. Talk now. I'm talking. An old bean come up first. You ever watch? The old bean come up first. And then the green of the stalk push the old bean up to the fall off. The old bean was the first to rise. But if it die, it bring forth much fruit. Get a lot of big hands. Now, it's that way with all corn. Now, you've been in school, you have, and they gave you a jar. They told you to put this in the jar, and they said, watch what happened. You come back to school and tell me what happened. First thing happened was that bean came up with a stalk, and the bean that came up was the first, was the one you put down. God used that one grain to reproduce. That's why I said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it's going to abide alone. But if it die, it's going to bring forth much fruit. All right, that's what happened when that one man died on the cross. This was God's seed. God wants sons. See, in the book of Romans, I'm going to show you in the book of Romans, I want you to put Romans 4:16. On the screen, I'm going to read it in the King James, and I'm going to read it in the NLT. On the screen, Romans 4:16, and I'm going to read it out the NLT, and I'm going to read it also out of the King James. Because this is something that you got to understand, that now we are sons of God. God put his own son into the earth, and out of the earth, out of his burial, which I'm getting ready to show you, came sons. Now, the only way we'll see the manifestation of the sons of God, the gospel has to be preached. That's why you have Ephesians 1:13-14. You got to preach the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God that gives salvation, that brings salvation. You can't. That's why you have to have these two things. If you ever look at the word salvation, and you put both side by side. This is what I did. I looked at Romans 1:16. It tell me how they got salvation. Then I looked at the new covenant, how you got salvation. If you look at both of them, Romans 9:10 and 9:10 say, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, man believe on the righteousness, but with the mouth, Confession is made unto salvation. That's how you got it. You did it. Confession is made unto salvation. You did it. But if you go back into the New Testament, salvation did not come by you doing it. How many know the New Testament word? I'm going to give it to you. Romans 1:16, if you're taking notes. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto. See, that's why the gospel is the power of God that brings salvation. But over here under Romans 10, it's you doing it. So if it don't work, it's on you. You didn't have enough faith. All right. So that's the D. That's the difference. All right. Now, what I got? Romans what? Romans 4:16 in the King James and in the NLT. Do it whichever one you have first. I'm going to turn around and read that. There we go in the King James. Read. Therefore, it's of faith that it might be by grace. Say it is. Say it, of faith that it might be by grace. All right. Now, I don't know if God's going to allow me to tell you the story of Abraham in here, but that's one of the things you got to understand. God needed two things. One faith and one grace. All right. Now we're going to go back and we're going to show you what happened, how Abraham got to be the father of all. We're going to go there. All right. Look like. All right. Therefore, of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to what? All the seed. Listen, when you talk about the promise, you can't in grace, you can't talk about the promise. Because Christ is already here. See, the Old Testament only promised. New Testament, we got reality. Wait a minute. Anybody? No, I won't say that. Because you stand up and say, yeah, I'm pregnant. Then I start something. But if a woman pregnant, she's only carrying the promise. But if she got the baby in her hand, she can show us what was. Okay, all right. Some of y'all shaking your head. Therefore, of faith, that it might be what? By grace, to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. No S. All the seed. Not to that only which is of the law. See, you had children of God under the law. Then, but to that also which is of faith. That's the time of the gospel of the kingdom. They were of faith. Who is the Father? I'm sorry. Don't go nowhere yet. Back up. But to that also, which is of the faith of Abraham. See, I don't hear nobody read it. That's what I'm trying to see. Y'all still here? That's y'all part. Come on. To the which he had children under the law, or the seed under the law, but also to them that also which is of the faith of Abraham. All right. Now you have to understand the faith of Abraham. That's not you. I just gave you Galatians 2:20. But see, Romans 10:9-10, they use the faith of Abraham. See, that's why you got to understand. That's not going to give you the new birth. Why should we continue? Which is the father. Abraham is the father. Keep going now on the screen. Abraham is the father of us all. Of us all who? Under the law. And under faith. See, he's the father of all that's under the law and under faith. All right. Now, go to the next verse. Do the same verse in NLT. Same verse. Romans 4:16. Now read. Romans 4:16. Read. So the promise is received. Wait a minute. The promise is what? Received by faith. Don't forget that, because when you read Romans 3:30, only Israel can receive something by faith. Put that down, Romans 3:30, only the Jews can receive by faith. The Gentile can only receive through faith. See if you stay. Watch what it says. So the promise is received how? By faith. It's given as a free gift, and who are certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, if we have faith like Abraham. Faith what? Like Abraham. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. All right. But see, you take that, if you don't know the word, you think he's talking about us. See, Abraham is not the father of us. He's the father of the Jews who was under the law and those who was under faith. Now, let's go to Romans 3:30. The reason why I'm saying this is you got to know your father. I'm going to be teaching soon about your father. Your father is called the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pardon? Oh. But he's our father because we are a new creation. I'm keep saying that. Say, I am a new creation. Because the I am there ain't you. Amen. So I'm trying to make sure you understand today you are crucified with Christ. I got to get to this. All right. What verse I just gave you? Romans chapter 3 and verse 30. Just one verse. It says, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision. What is justification? What is make righteous, the word justification? And the circumcision is the Jews. So he made righteous the Jews. How? By faith. That's why that by faith is not yours. So if you're going to ever read Hebrews chapter 11, it'll go by faith, by faith, by faith. That's not you. By faith means you have to have faith and works. I just showed you. You got to have faith and grace. Faith and. All right, you can't have one by. But uncircumcision was with Gentiles through faith. Through faith means we have to do is receive. Just believe. You don't have to have works. All right. Now, I gave you this morning. I'm going to give you this now before I get into my message. What is the next thing I have? You got something I didn't do? Anybody got a note? So I asked you that early. Okay, let me move on because I can't wait for you to find your note. All right. I already did it. I got to move on. Okay, I gave you this. If you put all the Bible, if you want to, I'm going to give you this because I want to put them on both tapes. The Old Testament, when I said Old Testament, I'm talking about, we call the New Testament, but it is half of Paul's writing was to the Jews and half of Paul's writing was to Gentiles. All right, so you want to put 1 through 7. These 7 books I'm going to give you was to the Jews. Then you want to put 1 through 7 again. These 7 books is to the Gentiles. That's what I'm getting ready to give you. I'm telling you, make your notes ready so you make it easy. All right. Galatians. These are all to Jews. The book of Galatians was written A.D. 48, 49, 50, right in there. It's the oldest book that Paul wrote, or the first book that Paul wrote. All right. Galatians. Then 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Then 1 and 2 Corinthians. Now, you want to write all of Corinthians, just write 1st, C-O-R. You can write your Corinthians later. All right. Just helping you out because I don't have a lot of time. All right. Then you got Hebrews and Romans. Let me give you again. Galatians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. You can just put the word 1st Thess, 2nd Thess. I'm just trying to help you out because you'd be like, come on, what did you just say? Just write 1st Thess, 2nd Thess. All right. Then 1st Cor, C-O-R, 2nd Cor. Write the rest later. Then you got Hebrews and Romans. That's 7 books. Paul wrote those 7 books to the Jews. You look at all of them beginning, it said to the church of God. That's why so many people read them books and they said, well, see, we're supposed to serve communion. See, right there in Corinth, it said we got to serve communion. That's why. You look at the first of the book, it said to the Jews. Church of God at Corinth. Okay? Now, then Paul wrote 7 letters in prison. Well, they were to the Jew, Gentile. His letters in prison were to the Gentile. His first letter was Ephesians. That was written somewhere around AD 60. So Paul started writing books in AD 49, and he wrote all the way to AD 67, or maybe 68. We'll see that. But his 7 letters to the Gentile, number 1 was Ephesians. That was written somewhere around AD 60, AD 61, too, right in there. Now, this is on your phone if you got a good phone with a Google. All right? You can Google it. It'll show it to you. All right? And then also you have Colossians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. I'm going to say them again. Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, 1 Timothy,
Second Timothy. So you got Timothy, just write First Tim. See, First Tim, Second Tim. You can get to Timothy later. Then you do Titus. And then you do Philemon. All right, now that's the sub. When Paul wrote Philemon, he was in prison jail. He told you that with his fellow prisoner, which was Philemon. All right, now that's that. The last sermon I gave you was to the Gentiles. I'm doing this because I'm teaching the ministry of the apostle. Now, what people do is when they're going to start a church, they go back to Matthew. Let's all go back to Matthew 28 right now. Let's show you what people do in local churches. They go back to Matthew and they ask you, are you a soul winning church? Y'all winning the souls over there? God told us to go into all the world and win souls. You know what they're doing? They're following Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That is not Paul's ministry. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16, they call this the Great Commission. See, people go by what the Bible said. They don't care who wrote it. It's the Great Commission. So that's why when I used to watch TBN, that's what they do. God told us to go all over the world, the Great Commission to the church. God didn't give no Great Commission to the church. God never told the church to save souls. God told Israel to save souls. That's why when you read the book of Revelation, especially when they get around the altar, they tell you all the souls were around the altar. Because only God saves souls in the old covenant. But that's why he came and died on the cross to save all souls. So when you come across into the new covenant which you are in now, all souls were saved. You trying to get them to receive salvation. That's why didn't nobody come. I got a guy told me, he says, man, I can't say this because I don't want to put it on tape. No, I won't. I won't say that. All right, verse 16. We are in Matthew 28, 16. Then the 11 disciples, they went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him and some doubted. Now, this is the manifest of Jesus. This is the manifested word. This is not the revealed word. New covenant, you have the revealed word. All right? Look what it says in verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Now, he's saying this here because he has a church in earth, which was Jews, with the church of God. Then he had a church in heaven, which are us. See, we are the body of Christ. We sit with him in heavenly places. All right. So we are the church in heaven. Then in verse number 9, then he's going to tell these guys, go therefore in all the world. Teach. Now, he's talking about all Israel. He's not talking about going all the world, Pontiac, because there were no Pontiac. But that's what people take. And most people from here, when they want to do soul winning, they go to Africa or one of the countries of Africa because that's where they got to go win them souls. See? Now, watch this. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, this word all nations here had to do with Jerusalem, Israel. Hold your finger right there. We come right back. No, I finished this and come right back. Go therefore and teach all nations. I'm going to show it to you when I leave. That's Matthew chapter 10, verse number 23. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them. See, he never told you. He already told you don't go to the Gentiles. But what do people teach you today? You got to be baptized. God never talked to Gentiles about baptism. Never. It's not in the Bible. Only under Peter's ministry. It wasn't under Paul's ministry. Paul preached to the Gentiles. He never told you to be baptized under his ministry. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 1, 15, 16, 17, he said, I thank God I baptized none of you. I didn't want to make sure how he said it. All right. So he told them, Jesus told them, go there and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost. So what do the problem come in? Here's another denomination. They take their doctrine out of Mark. And we're going to show you that. Then we're going to be done with this stuff here. All right. But he said, go and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them. Watch what they're going to teach them. To observe all whatever I have commanded you. Well, it can't be us.
God didn't send Paul to teach us what Jesus taught the Jews. But you don't know what Jesus taught the Jews. That's John 13, 34, 35. Teaching them what all things whatever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Watch this, even to the end of the world. Well, the end of the world happened. If it wasn't, Jesus would still walk around on the earth. Or still be over there with Israel. He said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. Well, if the world had to end, Jesus was supposed to be over in Jerusalem walking around with them. Huh, you'll catch on. Because he wasn't talking about that world. All right, now let's go look at Mark. At the end of Mark, then I'm going to move from here. While I'm in Matthew, let me do Matthew 10:23. Right. What I want one word says, go not among the Gentiles. So let's look at Matthew 10 and 5 and 10 and 23. See, if you go by the word of God, you know people are wrong. See, people set up churches by denomination, not by the Bible. You gotta understand, they don't go by no Bible. You go ask them same people about the Bible. Don't be asking me about that Bible. Because they don't know. Denominations are set up by denomination. Otherwise, it's like the one that's in Pontiac. If you go somewhere to another town, you set your church up Baptist like the one in Pontiac. So you go visit the church in Pontiac. Matter of fact, that's why they have conventions. Well, the Church of God in Christ, well, the Baptist, all denominations have conventions. So they can set their churches up just like the name of the church that they're in other towns. They get the big churches. Set your church up like the big churches. That's why I was a Baptist. We had a Baptist church. So I had to get a baptism pool to baptize folk. If not, I can't be a Baptist. And if you're a certain kind of denomination, your people have to wear little white bonnets. They all sit right up front. And you got to have little white bonnets on here. See, every church is set up just alike. See, if you don't watch what's going on, that's called denomination. All right. Now, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, that's what we're waiting on the screen. All right, Matthew 10, 5. Read. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles. They was told not to go to the Gentiles. Why? Because God never sent the Jews to the Gentiles. And guess what? God never sent the Gentiles to the Jews. Let's keep going. These 12 Jesus sent forth. Why did I say that? Because they would not receive you. All right? These 12, that's why Jesus came to his own. John 1, 9, 10, 11. Jesus came to his own received them not. You know what they did to him? Right there on that cross. That's what they did to him. That's what they're going to do to you. You go over there. All right. You put your little black hat on the back of your head, you go over there. And you go over there in the name of Pastor Crump Church. I'm a prophet of somebody. They're going to take care of you over there. We'll be watching you on CNN. All right. Because that's not who God sent you. All right, here we go. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles, and in any city of Samaria, don't go in it, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach. What you going to preach then? The kingdom of heaven's at hand. That's what they preached, the kingdom. That means if Israel had accepted their king, he would have set up his kingdom on earth. But they rejected their king, and God knew they would. That's why the salvation came to the Gentiles. All right, now let's look at verse 23, the same chapter. Matthew chapter number 10 and verse 23. Let's start verse 22. Verse 22, Matthew 10, 22. And you shall be hated. See, that's why he told them, don't go. You're going to be hated for all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Listen, just like right now, men does not care about you saying God. You go any station, any TV station with your broadcast, if you only keep the word God. But if you bring up Jesus, you getting ready to get kicked off the air. So that's what you got to understand. Men does not hate God. They hate Christ Jesus. You got to understand. You can go anywhere. All right, let's move on. And so he said, but he that endure to the end shall be saved. So otherwise, the end hadn't come back. So let's keep going, because people don't think the end is in your future. I ain't never saw nobody thought the end was in their future. All right. I thought the end was at the end, you know, but not in front of me. All right, verse 23, read. But when they persecute you in this city, flee to another city. For verily I say to you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel until the Son of Man be come. See, he told them to go into all the world. He told you what the world was. The world was Israel. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He gave his son to Israel. See, people don't know what the world means. That's why they don't know when it's the end of the world. That's why you have a new heaven and a new earth at the end of your Bible. All right. That's the old world. Old world already passed away. But people don't want to believe that. That's why they can still hear and say, yeah, Jesus coming back, and he got to get through with this grace stuff here, and then he got to go back to the Jews. What? Don't you know grace is eternal? Did anybody ever tell you grace? Somebody found grace is eternal. See, people don't know. That's why I have to know this book myself. If you don't know, people would lie to you. All right? All right. Now, let's go to work. We're talking about I was crucified with Christ. Say, I was crucified with Christ. Let's go to Galatians 2:19. We on our way. Galatians chapter 2, verse 19. I want to take the next 15 minutes and just stick right here. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 19. I got to show you that you was crucified with Christ. That means you was already dead. It's not I that live. It's Christ that lives in you. The revelation that God gave Paul was Christ in you and you in Christ. But the next thing he gave you was the Holy Ghost is in Christ. And most people don't know what the Holy Spirit is. They just say, in me. In me where? The Holy Ghost is in my spirit. How do I know that? I got to do this now. I ran my mouth. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. See, you are spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. And Christ is in your heart, some places call it. But that's talking about your spirit. Christ lives in your spirit, your heart. And his ministry is to teach your soul some sense. Otherwise, renew the mind. See what happened is we get born again, but we got an old mind. We got a new nature. And don't let nobody tell you got two natures. You only got one nature, and that's in your heart. Christ in your heart, that's your new nature. Adam's spirit used to be in your heart. That was the old nature. When Christ came in, he didn't come in and live with the old nature. You got a new heart, new spirit. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So you're a new man, new creation, but you just got an old mind. All right, you want to pay $57.13 for a tie instead of just giving him $60 and just call it even. But you wouldn't be able to call a tithe. Tithe has to be 10%. That's why people count out all them pennies. Just hallelujah, I'm a tither, praise God. I want you to come to be a cheerful giver. See, a cheerful giver is when you give God according as he has blessed you. Tithing means 10%. And you know you have to give God more than that. But people won't do that because they want to tithe. I'm going to give God $17.34. Because my check is $174. And that's how they count their money. I tell my wife, don't do that. All even number, no change. Amen. If we give 10% and more. So the reason why we do that, because we don't want to be stuck trying to tithe. So if I got to give God $290, I just give him $300. Ah, you're going to tip God. I ain't going to tip. Why don't you call tipping? Why don't you give him 10 more? 1 Thessalonians 5:23. First, all of it healed anyway. Once you realize that all healed, it ain't gonna matter. All right, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, read. And the very God of peace sanctify you holy. Now, he don't mean H-O-L-Y holy. He's talking about whole. This is you. That's why you always have in doctors and people in different kinds of chemistry, they use the circle. Because a circle has no ending. A circle has no ending. That's God. See, God is like a circle. He never stops. There's no ending. You cannot Lexi him, Lexus, you know, Lexus are fortified. You can't do all them angles. Like a chemistry angle, that's a Lexus. All right? He's not there. He's a circle. And you a circle. So if you put you a circle, your soul's a circle, your spirit a circle. Because all four is eternal. There's no end to your spirit, no end to your soul, no end to God. That's what a circle means. So what happened is the circle that had your spirit in it, that was Satan's nature. So God had to get that out, give you a new nature. So now that the spirit is in you now, God speak where you put Christ at. He put the Holy Ghost in Christ. All the gifts, all the blessings and everything you got coming, your inheritance in Christ. So now the Holy Ghost can speak over here to the other circle, to your soul. I want you to write a word down that you're going to see a lot in my ministry that I teach on, and that's 1 Corinthians 6:17. So here Paul says, verse 23, sanctify you holy. Then he says, are you there? Okay, spirit, soul, and body. See, that's holy. All right, spirit, soul, and body. So what happened when Adam ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? It went into his nature. See, because it was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. It corrupted. See, from the mind is the mainframe. From the mind is the computer. This is how God governed the whole body. Remember he talked about the tongue, little member, but it governed the whole body. So all of that comes from the mind. It's just like when you touch something and it shocks you. That have to go all the way to the mind and you say, ouch! You know when you stomp your toe or when you touch something down there, it could be way down there. It have to go all the way up to the mind and he knows about it. And you go, ouch! That's why I delay, like thunder and lightning. Anytime you hear thunder, it has just lightning. It's not thunder and lightning, really it's lightning and thunder. Doom! You ought to see how wise God is. God got lightning over here. Then he wake, doom! You don't know your God that much. One day, somebody, I don't know if y'all was with us that time, we had a marriage fellowship down in Southfield or somewhere, the big old hotel there on Telegraph, and we was going the back way because it was thunder and lightning real bad. I don't know how many of you was here, but it was a marriage fellowship. And we got to a light, my wife remember this, the lightning came right down in front of our van. And hit the ground and went exploded. It hit the ground and it walked. All these cars had stopped. It walked all the way across the street to a telegram pole and went boom. And that tree exploded. It's something just to see it. But that's how it works. When lightning come down, it has to be a boom somewhere. Okay. All right. Now, let's move on. I gave you Galatians 2:19. That's where we're at. 1 Corinthians 6:17. That's one verse. I told you to write that down. I wasn't going to go to it. Let's go here. 1 Corinthians 6:17. Then I'm going to go to Galatians 2:19. Are you learning the word? All right. 1 Corinthians 6:17. I want to read one verse and then go to Galatians 2:19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Now, this is something you need to write down in your Bible and mark it, because this is what happened when God born you again. See, you are not an old creature God fixing you up. No, no, you're a new creation. You got everything. Remember I told you this here? This is something that I learned. And the guy said this one time, and it really made sense because it blessed me. He says, Pastor, what happened? He was teaching in a man's church. He said, what happened is with grace is God, then he said, let me give, what kind of example can I give? He says, the example I want to give is at a football game. He said, you know they take that keg, what they call it, with all that Gatorade. Y'all, you can relate to that, can't you? It's full of ice. It got ice. It got Gatorade. It got all this stuff in there. They take everything just like it is. They find the winner, the coach, and they come behind him, and they dump everything on him. He said, that's how God did you when he gave you his son. God didn't hold nothing back from you. When God gave you his son, he took everything that he has. He put it in Christ. That's why Ephesians 1:3 said, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. You don't come behind in no spiritual gift. Every spiritual gift that's in the Bible is in you. You can't use them till you renew your mind. You can't operate in the things of God till you renew your mind. The Spirit of God in you, Christ in you, Colossians 1:27, Christ in you is the hope of glory. So you got to keep saying that. Say, Christ in me. Well, Christ in you means Christ in your spirit. See, Christ is in your spirit, but the Holy Ghost is in Christ. And the Holy Ghost's responsibility is to teach your mind. I'm going to get into all of this because I'm doing a teaching on the Holy Ghost. He's your comforter, he's your teacher, and he's your helper. Right here in you. You got all the help you need. Hallelujah. See, that's why when you study the Word of God, now you got to know what he come to help you do. Come to help you to testify. He shall testify of me, Jesus says. He shall tell you by me. He shall teach you by me. See, he's not out here to tell you what the number is. See, we want him to, if you just tell me what the number, hallelujah. I'll just pay off the church. You ain't going to pay that number. You're going to move. You're going to move to another state. For real. Galatians 2:19. Let's go. Now, I'm okay now, right? I gave you 1 Corinthians 6:17. Let's do it one more time if you're still there. 1 Corinthians 6:17. He that is joined to the Lord. Come on, I need you to read this because this is going to be a teaching coming. He that is joined to the Lord is what? Once Christ came in your heart, you and Christ are what? You're one spirit. That means you and Christ is in you. All right? When Christ came in you, now the Godhead bodily is in Christ. How many know what the Godhead is? Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That's the Godhead. The Godhead is in Christ. That means the Father is in you and the Holy Ghost is in you, in Christ. The Father's in the Son and the Son's in the Father and the Holy Ghost is in the Son. All that's in you. But see, if I can get you to know it and stop getting over here with these other guys trying to get saved, you're saved by your confession. The only reason they're using confession is because they used to use it under the law. It was not for Gentiles, it's for Israel. They had to get everything they get by the confession. You study the Old Testament and the word confession, that's not in the New Covenant to us. That's why I gave you the books. You look at the books. You don't see God saving us in the New Covenant. Well, let me show you to you, Ephesians chapter 2. What did he say about saved? Ephesians chapter 2. See, the key is you at the wrong church and then you're getting taught the law. You don't want to accept it because it's the biggest church in town. They got to be right. That ain't what Jesus says. Jesus said, you can find that small group over there at Crump Church, you're going to get some grace. You go over here, hey, you go to the big crowd, think you're going to find the word, you'll find a lot of stuff. You'll find a lot of stuff. But you won't find a word. You find the crowd, you won't find the word. All right, where I tell you I'm going? Ephesians 2:1. What I told you I'm going to look at. I'm showing you the word saved. I'm showing you how you were saved. See, over here it told you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. You shall be saved. No, no, no. Let's come over here to Paul. See, you still old in Romans. Let's come over here to Paul. Over here to Paul, he's going to tell you how he was saved. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to start reading with verse 1. In verse 1 it says, and you, read, has he quickened, past it? Everything in the new covenant is past him. It's already happened. That's why you can only what? See, if I can just get y'all just one thing. One word I told you to hold on to. Over here in the law, they demands. You got to do something over here. You got to work over here. You got to keep some stuff over here. You got to fight over here. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, somebody. Over here, you got to stomp that devil. Put your foot on it. You got to do something over here. You got to fight. Over here, you got to rest. Because the victory has already been won. Over here, you just receive what you do under grace. Come on, I need you. I need you to learn how to live in grace. You got one thing to do in grace, and that's receive. That same word is believe. It's already been done. You can't find nothing new covenant that's not already done. It's past tense. Under Paul teaching. Oh, you come back over here, you go to a fighting church. How many have been to a fighting church? Before the service starts, you can see them already. We got to fight that. We got to fight this thing. You come in here to war. You got war. What that song called war? How it sound? This means war. Then you got to come in and break them shackles. You got to break them shackles off. What that song called them shackles? Break them off. You got to break them off. Come back over here so quiet. Because you're under rest. The battle has already been won. See, over here we only sing about victory. Not trying to get no victory. We got the victory. That's how I'm teaching my daughter, she don't know that, how to know the song for the church. You don't need anything you got to do. It praise him, worship him, thank him, because everything been done. Don't have to fight. See, I came from Mississippi, and one of the songs we had to sing is, you got to fight the bloodstained banner. You got to fight. You got to. What, Big George? Big George over there. I thought, hey, Big George, you remember that? We got to fight the bloodstained banner. We got to hold up. We got to hold it up until we die. We are soldiers. We are soldiers in the army. In God's, we got to fight. We don't have to fight over here. I said, we don't fight over here. We love over here. I said, we love over here. Come on, get up on your feet. I'm not going no further. We love over here. You got to learn how to love over here. We forgive over here. We love over here. The work has already been done. Huh? There are no bondages over here. Got to understand how it is. We live in the grace life. We're getting ready to get that on our t-shirts. We get ready on our webpage. On our webpage, Brother Earl and Reggie and our tape minister guy, they're working out some stuff. But we're going to have another thing on there called the grace life. We already, and this thing about Jesus for pointing and pointing for Jesus is already on your page. It's a t-shirt, sweatshirt. God gave me that back in 1986. Jesus for pointing and pointing for Jesus, and I still got the tag. But people didn't think I was real. Now, Pontiac is changing. Yeah. You can buy a new house right here, Pontiac. The Lord told me to claim this city for him back there in 1986. Yeah. I made signs. I saw it. He said, Jesus for Pontiac, don't leave. I told my wife, we got to build us a house. He said, build it in Pontiac. We went somewhere, we saw the swimming pool and all this stuff. I said, oh, my God, I can't build it. I can't buy this house. We got to build our own. Got to build it in Pontiac. Then a guy came over here and said, you going to build your church over here, man? Yeah, $6.5 million. He said, you going to build a church over here in this neighborhood of $6.5 million? I said, yeah. I said, drug deal over here, got to be some money. Huh? Why you think he come to Pontiac? I know what God doing. God got people in Pontiac. And then I began to look around. I said, now I know why he put me in Pontiac. Because wide tracks come right down and turn around in Pontiac. You can't do nothing in Detroit and leave out Pontiac. All the chartered buses that you got in Detroit, you got them in Pontiac. Because they come right down Pontiac, right down wide track, right around Pontiac. Everything you got over here in Auburn Hills, you can't get away. You got to come to Pontiac. We got 3 hospitals in Pontiac. See, you got to understand. I understand. I'm not here to teach you on Pontiac, but I'm trying to show you. God showed me that this city is in the center of what he's doing in this area. You can go anywhere around. I used to be a bus driver, street bus driver. Everything come right back to Pontiac. That's why he set this church here. There'll come a day you're going to come here and you're going to ask the usher, can you find me a seat up front? We've been trying to get you to sit up front. There'll come a day. You're going to come to the door and say, can you get me a seat up there? Somebody get a lot of praise. You know how I know that? Because I just heard my father tell me why. He said, because I said in John chapter 12, if I be lifted up, I will draw all. Now, you know he just told me, no way I'm going to know that. 1 Corinthians 15. Boy, I tell you, ask my wife how much I study. That's what I do. I found out if you study with him, he'll show you everything you need to know. 1 Corinthians 15, God told us what the gospel is. Moreover, brothers, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you have received and where you stand, by which also you are saved. Not going to be saved. Grace means you are saved. Look at somebody and say, I'm already saved. So when you go to a church to tell you if you do this and do this, you shall be saved, you in the wrong church. Christ already saved you. By which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach to you, unless you believe the wrong message or believe it in vain. I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. And he was buried and God raised him again from the dead the third day according to the scripture. That's how you were saved. You were saved by what Jesus did on the cross. Christ died for our sins. He was buried and God raised him from the dead. That's how you were saved. Tell somebody I'm saved. I have the Holy Spirit living in me. Said Christ is in me. The hope of glory. Glory. It's the Holy Ghost. That's who glory is. God could not put the new wine in old wine's hand. He had to put Christ in you first, and then he put the Spirit in the Son. He that has the Son has the Spirit.